Ephesians 5. Walk in love. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, as we dwell in your word, we pray that, Lord, you would speak to us, meet our spiritual needs, and we pray that you would encourage us, fill us with your Holy Spirit to discern and understand your will through your word and in this meditation. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. We are all imitators, aren't we? One way or the other. We often children imitate parents, and parents have their own models, imagining that they would become like that. Sometimes imitation comes even without being conscious of it. But Paul here is trying to invoke that idea of imitation when it comes to spiritual understanding. In verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God. The word in Greek, imitate, means mimic. That actually is the word that is used. In the Lord's Prayer, we begin with the words, Our Father. This is an intimate language. It's often suggested scientifically that fathers as role models and early exposed to their profession play a significant role on their children, particularly on sons. So sons observe their fathers work, develop an interest, and admire their success. Spending time at their father's workplace exposes them to the job's intricacies, fostering familiarity and comfort. Consequently, it becomes a natural choice for sons when contemplating their own career paths. This is despite societal changes which led to more diverse career paths across generations, emphasizing individual choice and passion. So our bond with our parents is the product of our imitation and become like them even in the professions. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So we must live a godly life. Hence Christians have no greater calling or purpose than that of imitating God. That is the very purpose of our sanctification, growing in likeness to the Lord while serving Him on earth. Then in verse 2, Paul says, "Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us." We find very similar language when Paul talks about husband in verse 25, if we have the Bibles. If you can open and see that particular verse. Very similar language. Let me read for you. Verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." I think obedience is easy, but love is sometimes very difficult, particularly for man, because his emotions are always cool and calm. But love is not bound to emotions. It is more than that. It is logical, pure, sanctified, and it is godlike. So the Bible defines love particularly in John chapter 15 verse 13, where it says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus is our example. What did Jesus do for us? He sacrificially redeemed sinners by bearing their sins and giving His life. Through this, they receive a new nature, an eternal life, and are called to imitate His love. We are to love each other as Jesus loved us. And He loved us even though to give His life for us. He loved us enough to give us life for us. We may or may not have to die for someone, but we can also practice sacrificial love in other ways: listening, helping, encouraging, and giving. Giving strains your pocket. Listening demands your time. Talking needs concentration. Encouraging needs some creativity. Helping needs energy, time. All these are investments. Think of someone who needs this kind of love today and give all that you can. And then the third point I want to dwell on: talk and its consequences. Rather, our conversation and the consequences of our conversation. In verses 3 to 6, it says, "Sexual immorality," that is pornographic conversations, "impure swear words, and covetousness," or greed talk, we say, "should not be the subjects of the discussion among the saints." If you read chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians, Paul calls the Ephesians as saints. So you have a calling. You want to be holy. You want to be saint. If that is the case, then bad talk doesn't come. You are called to be holy and imitators of God. Obscene language and coarse jokes have become widespread, leading us to view them as acceptable and normal. I must say that when I was working with ACF, Army Cadet Force, for a few years, in different counties in the United Kingdom. I used to go to summer camps. I felt a bit suffocated sometimes because for every sentence there is F language. It was very tough for me. Oh, sorry, Padre, and then they go on. Sorry, Padre, and they then go on. It's very hard. It's a language that I was forced to adapt. I can't say those words, but I forced to hear those words. And for some time I managed to bear, but I thought, Lord, it is beyond my capacity. I survived with strength for 8 years and I said goodbye. Because it's overwhelming sometimes for me. Well, you might say, Anand, you're not relevant. Or, you know, you're not grown up. But this is what the Bible says. Paul warns us that such improper speech has no place in Christians' communication as it doesn't reflect God's grace within us. How can we glorify God and demonstrate His goodness while using such vulgar language? Verse 5 indicates that there is no room for the kingdom of God to such people who have improper, impure, and unholy conversations. It's not only losing the opportunity to enter the kingdom of heaven, but such disobedient people are subjected to God's wrath, leading up to God's eternal judgment, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, Romans 2, 5, Revelations 2, 11 to 15. Paul is not telling Christians to avoid all contact with non-believers, but to avoid joining with them in their sinful language or fellowship. Instead of being accustomed to such foul language, our language or conversations need to be thanksgiving and recognize what the Lord is doing in our lives. In our daily conversations, we talk about so many things. Weather, our relationships, politics, travel, business, health, day-to-day challenges, of course. But in all this, we need to ask, do we accommodate God in our conversations and give thanks to God? Has any particular devotion or a talk or reading helped you in a real life situation? King David said like this. These are important words for us. Please listen to these words. Psalm 63 verse 3, where David says, Lord, your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. Ah, beautiful verse. I was touched with these words. His steadfast love is better than our life. Light and darkness, verses 7 to 14. Talks about the light and darkness. Paul reminds Ephesians, they were once walking in the darkness, having such immoral, impure and greedy behavior, demoralizing others with coarse jokes and vulgar language. But now they have become children of light. John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, it says like this, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. There is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Beautiful. So faithful believers do more than abstain from evil. They denounce the deeds of darkness as unfruitful, shameful, and not worthwhile. Although Christians live in normal social relationship with others, as did the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not to participate in the sinful lifestyle of non-Christians. Paul goes further in verse 11. He instructs us to expose these sinful deeds. Well, this is very difficult, because our silence may be interpreted as approval. Our silence may be interpreted as approval. God needs people who will take a stand for what is good. Christians must lovingly speak out for what is true and holy, correcting someone, telling someone that they are living in sin. It is very, very hard. It is fierce, because we lose people, we hurt people, and we don't want to do that. But I slowly started learning it is possible to speak the truth in love. For that is the only way we can expose one's weakness or sin with love and grace. It is building up others' life. We can easily get away not telling anything. Oh, don't bother, that is his problem. But if you love him, if you care her, do gently say, probably it is not right in the sight of God. Or ask, do you think it is acceptable in the sight of God? If Jesus had been in your position, what would he do? These gentle conversations would provoke the person to think, because they claim that they love Jesus, of course. But your situation, how do you interpret your situation in the light of your faith? The fruit of life in verse 9 is similar to the fruit of spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22-23. There are a list of wonderful characteristics there. It is a mixed metaphor, but the meaning is clear. Light is productive. Consider the effect of light on a plant growth. The other day, me and Shaila was observing a plant at home. At the window, there's light. So all the leaves turn towards the window because they want light. You see? It's so interesting. Plants respond. Well, you, your soul and my soul should be like that. We should be attracted to the light. You see? That's our lives. We should be tender. We should grow and turn towards the light, because that is our home. It is the Father who lights us, because he is light. We are children of light. And those who live in God's light produce the fruit of moral and ethical character, while those who live in darkness do not, as mentioned in verse 11, because light reveals darkness, exposing the true nature of sin through contrast. Paul seems to be stressing the all-pervasive nature of the light of God and its inevitable effect. A young boy named Jimmy carried a small jar filled with fireflies. As the evening fell, he opened the jar, and the tiny lights danced in the darkness. People passing by were drawn to the magical sight, their faces illuminated with wonder. The fireflies revealed the beauty that was hidden in the night, reminding everyone that even in the darkest moments, there is always a spark of light waiting to be discovered. Perhaps Christians are called to be fireflies in this dark world, bringing a ray of hope to humanity through faith in Jesus. Bad influences. Some biblical scholars suggest that verse 14 could be a hymn. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Probably a hymn of his day. It might be derived from Psalm 61 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Maybe similar tone. So Paul urged the Ephesians to be aware of the dangers they were falling into. Ephesus being a place with diverse cultures, as we meditated a few weeks ago. It was diverse in culture and religion, different religions. And this made it easy for unbelievers to enter the church and influence their local ungodly culture. Assimilating these beliefs would lead to darkness. Similarly, we should also be vigilant against false beliefs entering our churches with wrong doctrines and cultural influences. Friends, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Very similar words, another sentence, we walk by spirit, not by flesh. These are important words to remember. We walk by spirit, but not by flesh. Kent claims to be a garden of England. Is that right? You're not agreeing? Oh, yes, okay. Good, Philip. Imagine a beautiful garden blooming with the vibrant flowers. The villagers loved their garden at the center square, but they had to remain watchful. Some mischievous birds brought seeds from distant lands, planting them among the flowers. At first, the new plants seemed harmless, but soon they grew and choked the garden's beauty. Realizing their mistake, the villagers diligently uprooted the intruders, safeguarding the purity of their cherished garden. Just like the villagers, we must stay alert from worldly influences that may jeopardize our spiritual growth. We must guard our Christian faith based upon the scriptures revealed in these 66 books. This is our foundation, and this is our revelation, and this is our guide. Live by the Spirit, verses 15 to 20, gives us instruction as to how to guard ourselves from outside influences. Paul says, watch how you walk in your daily life. Be wise and not be ignorant, because your days are evil. Paul contrasts being drunk with wine to being filled with the Spirit. Getting drunk reflects the old way of selfish desires. In Ephesus, pagan worship involved drunkenness, which some believers were likely familiar with. So being filled with the Spirit is a choice, not complicated. It means submitting, welcoming guidance, accepting correction, living with restraint, relying on the power of God, and fostering unity. Living by the Spirit does not mean have casual part-time relationship with God. It requires a wholehearted relationship, filling our lives with His love and power. Therefore, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul identifies our outcomes. What are they? As mentioned in the verses, singing, making music, giving thanks, and submitting to one another in the Lord. And that is the true worship of God. Because, for we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Lastly, when we feel like life has worn us down, we may find it difficult to give thanks to the Lord. But let us take heart that God loves us. Romans 8 verse 28 clearly says that all things will work good upon us, those who believe in Jesus, and his purposes will be fulfilled. So let us give thanks to God, not for our problems, but for the strength he is building in us through the difficult experiences of our life. At first, thinking him may feel forced or artificial, but our gratitude will grow. We can be sure that God's perfect love will see us through any difficult time. So, why is Paul writing all this to the Ephesians? Because Ephesians, the location of the Ephesus, is in a very vulnerable position, which the church would be influenced by all sorts of influences from other religions, other cultures. Therefore, Paul is encouraging them to be firm in their faith. Always try to imitate God. Friends, if we pray saying, Our Father, that is a very emotional and very close language, very intimate language. And you and I have to imitate him. But as Christian believers growing in the Lord, we must imitate God. May these words encourage you, fill you with his Spirit, and guard you as you spend this week. Amen.